What?
College matters.
What?
College matters. Matters.
Really?
For sure. College matters.
Alma matters. Matters.
I am a great proponent of the fact that a seminar is the single most important element to a memorable college experience. If you sit around a table with a good teacher, you will learn better. You will make better friends. You will learn how to express yourself better, and you'll have fun.
That is Professor Paula Marantz-Cohen, Dean of Benoni Honors College at Drexel University in Philadelphia. Hello, I'm your host, Venkat Raman. The honors programs at Drexel University started in 1991 and became the Benoni Honors College in 2002. 10 years ago, Professor Cohen became the Dean of the Benoni Honors College. Professor Cohen is a distinguished English professor, a writer, and a novelist. In this podcast, Dean Cohen introduces the Benoni Honors College, the honors programs, experiential programs including the co-op, scholarships and grants, how to apply, and career opportunities. Now, before we jump into the podcast, here are the high fives, five highlights from the podcast.
The Honors College began in the late 90s as a program. And it was very small and really not well known. In 2002, it was endowed by Chuck Pannone, who was a graduate of Drexel, who had been an acting president of Drexel twice. I would say we have a lot of interest in things like sustainability, and we've had many courses that deal with, you know, various areas. We have water experts at Drexel in the engineering school who have taught for us. And so sustainability and design thinking. So we have a lot of design courses that have a design component. Well, you know that Drexel is a co-op school. So most of all students do 2 or 3 6-month co-ops over the course of a 4 or 5-year degree. The 5-year degree is the norm. We're looking for students that we think want to be engaged, have a kind of a curiosity about learning and life. So we look for that in their extracurriculars and in their essays. So it's a matter of, and I will say that we also take into account if a student has had to take care of a family member or something like that, we see that as being part of their application.
Sure.
There's a whole network that's been created over the past, 100 years of co-op involvement in the area that really makes it so that our students who tend to be more industrious and higher achieving than perhaps the rest of the university get the best jobs.
These were the high fives brought to you by
College Matters.
Alma Matters.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For my newsletter, visit almamatters.substack.com. Now, I'm sure you want to hear the entire podcast with Dean Cohen. So without further ado, here is Dean Paula Marantz-Cohen.
So if you're ready, we can jump right in then.
Okay, great.
Okay, so maybe let's start with your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself and then we'll go from there.
Okay, well, I am an English professor by training, although I've done a lot of different things. I'm also a writer, a novelist. I have, I spent a year teaching abroad after college in France. And so I was a French and English major at Yale College. And then I went on to Columbia University for my PhD. And I worked in public relations on Madison Avenue for a while. And Then I came to Drexel, and I've been at Drexel quite a long time. It has allowed me to do many different things. And most recently, actually, it's 10 years ago, I became dean of the Honors College and have really helped build it, I think, into a wonderful place for students on many levels that I look forward to telling you about.
So let's start with the origins of the Honors College, and then let's talk about the highlights. Yeah.
Okay, well, the Honors College began in the late 90s as a program, and it was very small and really not well known. In 2002, it was endowed by Chuck Pannoni, who was a graduate of Drexel, who had been an acting president of Drexel twice. He's the CEO of a large international engineering firm. He took over at one point when Drexel was not in good shape. And then after our president, Constantine Papadakis, died, he had done a lot for the university. He was an interim both times. And he was very impressed by the Honors College or the Honors Program and understood its goals. And so he endowed it actually sort of twice. He gave a good chunk of money the first time and then again a second time. So we became a college and we incorporated a number of programs that we felt fit together, as well as some other programs that we sort of incubated and that went on elsewhere. But the ones we have now are very much unified. They include the Honors Program under the Honors College, the Fellowships Office, which, you know, we try and get students in early to apply for the more competitive, to start building their skills and their knowledge to apply for more competitive fellowships when they're upperclassmen. We also have an undergraduate research program, the STAR program, where students can do research with professors in their labs, if it's a science or engineering project or computer science, after their freshman, the summer after their freshman year, so very early on. And that, we also have a program for students who want to continue doing research through to graduation, the Supernova program. We have a another program called the Aspire program. It's selective. We take students who we feel could use guidance in terms of personal and professional development, thinking about what their career goals are and what their personal goals are, and they find mentors and so forth. And then we have a symposium series, which is a group of courses open to all students on a theme every year. And we often have that team taught by faculty across the university. And then we have various programming that I can talk about as we continue. That is built into the program. But I should also say that our honors courses, which take place in our building, are really very impressive, I think. They're all cross-disciplinary. They're all seminar style. We offer 10 to 12 3-credit courses a year and 5 to 6 1-credit courses. Oh, what am I saying? Term. And 5 to 6 to 7 1-credit courses a term, and we're on the quarter term system. So we have 4 quarters, although our summer quarter is a little quieter than the other 3.
Now, give us a flavor of the courses that the Honors College offers.
Oh, well,
you were mentioning.
Well, we have quite a number of different kinds of courses. We have, as I said, all our courses, our 3-credit courses, are interdisciplinary. So we could have something like music and mathematics, or art and literature in 19th century, in Victorian England. Our 1-credit courses tend to be on one great work. We call them great works courses. So they will be on an author or on a particular book. So I've taught, for example, Bleak House, Dickens novel. I've taught Hamlet, the Shakespeare play. People have taught Nabokov's Pale Fire. Someone is doing right now, or someone did last year, Frida Kahlo, the Mexican artist. Some of the courses are a little more pop oriented. So we have somebody who's doing something, I think, on the Spice Girls, but looking at it in a cultural context. Somebody did a course on a Honus Wagner baseball card, for example, and dealt with both, you know, baseball history, but also the idea of collecting and value and so forth. I should say, for some of our three credit courses, we have a three credit course going on right now on Hemingway, illustrating Hemingway. So we have somebody who is both knowledgeable about literature and is also an artist. And we brought in people dressed in, for the time period, and helped the students think about the costuming and the, she did one on Jane Austen, illustrating Jane Austen. And that sort of thing. So those, you know, that gives you an idea of some of our standard coursework. We also have courses under a new program, which is called the Program for Civic Foundations, which we got a big grant from the Teagle Foundation to support this. And this is a three-term first-year course on civic foundations, particularly connected to the history and the politics and the culture of Philadelphia. So we've built in various trips to a cultural and civic institutions in the city, and we're encouraging students to get involved with these institutions as well. So I'm teaching that right now, team teaching that right now. We try and support team teaching for faculty across disciplines if we can.
How do you draw your faculty? Are they drawn from across Drexel?
Yes, we don't have our own faculty. Some of our staff, many of our staff have PhDs and are teachers, so they do teach. But we try to get the best instructors from across the university, but also people from outside. And sometimes they are practitioners in a field. So a local architect, for example, or a journalist who, you know, a movie reviewer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, we've had teach for us. We've had people who are part of the political scene. So we have really a range of, you know, we try and to take people who we think will be good seminar teachers. I mean, that's really at the core of this. And to be a good seminar teacher is to be able to both lead a class and efface oneself so that the students can really become engaged.
What are you finding that's very popular these days? I mean, in terms of the courses, I mean, is there, is it kind of a, you know, fair enough distribution, or are you finding more excitement for certain kinds of interdisciplinary things versus others?
Well, I would say we have a lot of interest in things like sustainability, and we've had many courses that deal with, you know, various areas. We have water experts at Drexel in the engineering school who have taught for us. And so sustainability and design thinking. So we have a lot of courses that have a design component. I should also add that we have a custom design major in the college. I neglected to mention that, where students can create their own major. This is a very labor-intensive major for our advisors. So we're very careful about who's admitted to it, but students can come and talk to our advisors and figure out whether this really interests them or whether maybe they'd be better having a minor or a double major. But in some cases, we have, I guess, 10 to 12 students a year who make their own major, usually three or four areas that they combine, and they take coursework in those areas across the university. And I should explain that to enter the custom design major, you have to come through the exploratory studies program, which is in the Goodwin School at Drexel. We don't admit people directly from high school.
Now, let's talk a little bit about experiential programs. You started talking about undergraduate research and the support that you offer. So give us a flavor for, I mean, give us the kind of things that go on, I mean, just broadly for undergraduate research and maybe, you know, already also study abroad and maybe even the capstone or thesis if there's one.
Okay, well, you know that Drexel is a co-op school. So most of all students do 2 or 3 6-month co-ops over the course of a 4 or 5-year degree. The 5-year degree is the norm here. And that means 6-month co-op. So that means they have job experience, 3 job experiences that are substantial that they get paid for. And often, especially for our honor students, because some employers, and it's not very systematic, but some employers do tend to want honor students. They know our students in the area. And so they will have a good chance of getting those jobs. And often those jobs turn into full-time jobs after graduation. And I should note that we have a dorm, a residence hall, and a an addition to it, which was built 5 years ago, or at least we got the money for it 5 years ago from Greg Bentley of Bentley Systems. And he was not a Drexel graduate. He was a Penn graduate, but he was so impressed with our co-op students that he was the benefactor for this building, which now has our seminar rooms, our office space, our programming, and connects to the first year residents. So that students, I always tell parents, they like this idea that we are attached to the residence hall. And anytime students want to get help or advice or just chat, they just have to walk through the building and they'll be in my office or any of our, the 20 of us that are the staff of the Pannoni Honors College. So that's part of the answer to your question, that we have the co-op that I think we get a certain amount of extra play because as honors, as an honors college, but we also have this STAR undergraduate research where students go into labs. They're helped to find a match with a faculty member at Drexel who's doing work that they might be interested in. After all, they're only first year students, so they're not absolutely sure yet, but they find if they think they might want to do research, sometimes they learn after the summer they don't want to do research, which is a good thing to do. But they can go into a lab and or just work with a faculty member if it's in the humanities or social sciences. Lab. But I would say that the most of them are involved with engineering or science or medicine. And, you know, I'm thinking about one student who this past summer worked in a lab that's working on an infant heart for heart transplants for infants, which need to be improved because they really are, I mean, they exist, but I guess they're not as flexible or as useful as they could be. And she's been working on that and she's so enthusiastic about it. She's continuing to do that work. She got her first co-op over at CHOP, which is the Children's Hospital at Penn. And she feels that that work will contribute to going back to the lab and working through graduation on this project. So this has been a very exciting time for her. But we have a lot of students doing different kinds of things. Some are doing more statistical sort of work, big data kind of work in computer science. Some are doing work, as I said, in sustainability and, you know, going testing water and so forth. One was doing work with fish. So, I mean, very a wide variety of things. Some are doing doing work in sociology or social science, looking at poverty issues in the city or at comparing them with other locales. It runs the gamut from more qualitative and to more quantitative sort of research.
I'm assuming there are grants and scholarships for these research activities, right? For all the research.
We have a budget for STAR. And so students who are accepted to STAR, and we accept 135 students for the summer, they get housing and a stipend. So, so they are essentially, you know, their summer is paid for. And they stay in the residence hall here, which is the first summer is the one summer when Drexel students do not have a co-op or classes. One of the things that makes Drexel different from other schools is that this five-year program, that students go to school all the way through or go to co-op. But the one time they don't is during the summer after their freshman year. And that's when our STAR students do their research. So, and they're housed, and they also get a stipend that that they can use for meals and other things that they might need. So that's funded. We do not give, although there are some hallmarked scholarship money for some of our honors students, it's administered through the general admissions. We don't do anything through our offices.
Oh, got it. Okay. Now, what about research year-round? I mean, students who might be continuing their research through the school year, is that part of whatever research they're doing that they would?
Yeah. Well, they can build that in. That can often be part of their co-op. And sometimes, very often, faculty members can pay them out of their grants.
Got it.
But we also give small mini grants to faculty and student pairs if they apply together for some funding to help them work together. So we continue to support through to graduation to some extent.
So what fraction of the students you think do undergraduate research from the Honors College?
What fraction? Let's see. I would say maybe a quarter from the Honors, from the Honors program you're talking about.
Yeah,
because we admit about 320 to the Honors program. And then we have 135. Tell me what that percentage is. But they're not.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah, I should also
say it's about 30%.
All Honors program students, but many of them are. Many of them are both. And I will say that you do not have to be an honors. You do not have to be admitted to honors only from high school coming into Drexel. You can apply up through your second year at Drexel. And very often those STAR students who have not applied or been admitted to the honors program, they get access to it through STAR in the summer, and they often end up applying when they're here. So it's a pretty high number that tend to do both.
So how about study abroad?
We have just initiated a new course. We did it first, I guess, 2 years ago. It's an exchange course. It's actually an online course for most of it with Amsterdam University in Amsterdam, looking at Philadelphia and Amsterdam and looking at the cities and their various issues and trying to come up with plans. So we have students in Amsterdam at this university and students here at Drexel together online. And then we have every other year an exchange. So our students go there. Our students went there this summer, I believe, and their students will come in the fall for a few weeks only, or 10 days, I think. But it's a very wonderful, intensive experience. We also have study abroad, and we're working to develop more partnerships of various sorts with that. But this Amsterdam piece is very much part of the Drexel applied thinking. So, you know, when they go, they look at particular things about the city. And Amsterdam students come here and they look at Philadelphia very much through the lens of what are the problems in this city? How is it run politically? What is the poverty rate and how does it compare with Amsterdam? I mean, obviously there are many more social problems here than there are in the Netherlands, and the students see that. But it's also a much more homogeneous population over there. But they learn a lot about comparative issues in these two courses.
That's pretty cool. I guess the challenge for you would really be balancing co-op and study abroad, given that there's only so much time you have during the college years.
Our students are very busy, And that is the problem. We also have, and there's always been talk about moving from the 10-week term, which is what we have now, to semesters, which would give us more room. But, you know, one of the great things about Drexel, and I feel I like the quarter term, because the 10-week term actually gives students more of a chance to sample coursework. You know, in a way, they get more for their money. It's an expensive school, Drexel, although we have discounts, obviously, for students in need. But it allows students to take more courses and therefore sample more than they would if they were on the semester system. But it's fast. And I always say that students need to have good study habits to do well at Drexel, and especially in the the Honors College. We don't make the Honors College or the Honors Program, rather, into something that's super rigorous. Our idea is to give students a chance to think. And I always say this to my prospective students and their parents, that I know they've been on a treadmill in high school. That one of the things we want them to find again is joy in learning and being able to talk and discuss and ruminate on ideas, which, you know, and especially in a co-op school and a school that's very oriented toward career and success, we want the Honors College and the Honors Program to be an oasis for them intellectually as well as socially.
No, that sounds great. I mean, I think that's really very hard to find that kind of space to
It's very
do that,
hard,
right?
But our space, our building is beautiful, I must say. And it's got a fireplace and a library that I've developed where, you know, we have all kinds of books and games where they can sit. And because the first years live in the area attached, they can come in the evening, and we have jigsaw puzzles all over the place and games and things. We have a Pannoni playground, which is a series of programs where students are encouraged to play at games, chess, you know, Risk, Monopoly, and we feed them. We're very big on giving them food because we think it eases the tension. And so, yes, and we have lots of other programming that happens in this space, and it's very easy for first years and others who live near the campus to come and take part.
Now, do you have a capstone or a thesis or something of that effect for the students?
We don't. We have a very flexible 16-point requirement for honors and plain honors. Five credits need to be in honors itself because we have that HNRS designation for some courses. But we also have a newly reformulated honors with distinction track, which is 24 credits, and 14 of which are HNRS credits. And this includes our program for civic foundations that I mentioned. Those students are students who are sort of honors within honors. We don't pressure students to do it. But if they really like the kind of cross-disciplinary work and the in-depth kind of thinking that we have, and especially the intimacy of the seminar, then sometimes they can do it very, you know, they do it naturally. They just build it into their programs.
I mean, obviously, you've talked about lots of programs, very appealing and very compelling. So what would be the benefits of joining the Honors College or being part of the Honors College?
I think, well, we also have our honors dorm, which mixes students from all disciplines. And otherwise, they might be with their cohort in engineering or fashion or computer science or whatever. Their floor is mixed. So they meet friends their first year that they generally remain, you know, friendly with for the rest of their lives, from what we can see.
It's made
a big difference. That's number one. Number two, I really think the number of seminars that we offer, I am a great proponent of the fact that a seminar is the single most important element to a memorable college experience. If you sit around a table with a good teacher, you will learn better. You will make better friends. You will learn how to express yourself better, and you'll have fun. And so that's what we aim for. And those are the kinds of instructors we look for, people who enjoy that kind of thing. And will, and we're trying to train faculty, actually, who don't feel comfortable to do this better, because we think it's an important faculty development piece. So I think being in these seminars is really valuable. Students may not realize it. They may think it's more convenient to be in a big lecture for 3 hours or to do their courses on Zoom. But ultimately, they appreciate it. And especially those, you know, those who have been in AP classes in high school, you know that feeling when it's good. I mean, it's not always good, but when they have a good experience in AP English or history, for example, they have a hunger for that, even if they're a computer science student. And that's what we try and tell them, show them that we can give them.
You know, you've gotten everybody all excited about Drexel Honors College. So what does it take to be a student there? What are you looking for?
Well, we are, you know, we don't have, we're still not requiring SAT or ACT scores. I guess you can submit them, but obviously the GPA, but, you know, nothing is carved in stone for us. We're looking for students that we think want to be engaged, have a kind of a curiosity about learning and life. So we look for that in their extracurriculars and in their essays. So it's a matter of, and I will say that we also take into account if a student has had to take care of a family member or something like that, we see that as being part of their application. So yeah, we're looking for students that we don't want this to just be a credential. So, you know, in the past, there was a time when, you know, before my time as dean, there was automatic admission if you had a certain GPA or if you were admitted into the pre-med program or whatever. We don't do that anymore. Someone can have perfect grades and just not be somebody that we think would be a good addition. And some could have maybe lower grades, and we feel they would be. And I should also say that when they come to Drexel, if they're not admitted, they start from scratch and they apply, as I said, their first or second.
Go ahead.
10% of the entering class is generally our aim. And I will say we've had a little more than that because our yield is greater than that of the university as a whole.
That's terrific. So are they applying, is that a separate application or is it just a...
It is a separate application. When they are, when they're in the common app, there's a place where they click to get in, to get sent the application if they're interested. Sometimes students miss that. They can always call our office and find out how to do it.
What is the kind of typically a profile of the students that you end up getting into honors? You talked about being engaged and I guess, you know, probably very well-rounded and you have certain criteria. So you're looking beyond grades, as I can gather. So what does the class look like?
Well, it's quite a diverse class. I mean, we try to have diversity of all sorts. We have quite a number of foreign students from all over the world. We have, if you looked at our class, you would say it was very diverse. You look at my grade sheet and you see names, you know, that are very diverse in their, in what they come from. But I would say almost all our students are students who will speak up and, you know, because again, if we're seminar based, as we are, we want our students to participate. And so, and even the shyer ones, I think by the middle of the term, they get the hang of it. And I think our professors help inspire them to speak. But overall, I would say our students are used to being leaders of one sort or another. They're not afraid to voice their opinions, but they're also, I would say, very respectful. And I mm-hmm. appreciate that. That may be a self-selection for Drexel in general. We have, 17% are first generation college students. I don't know if that's high or not. I'm not sure. But I think that our students have a certain level of confidence, but they also are humble. And we like that combination because they know they have a lot to learn.
Yeah. You know, about first gen, I think the stats are, you know, almost around 50%, I think, are first gen students in colleges today over the last few years.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
It depends on the college. Yeah.
But this is just, you know, obviously across colleges. So it's very difficult to say what's at any particular college.
Right. I think that's, it may be closer to 20 now, but this is perhaps an older figure, but I think it's a good enough figure. And I we're always trying to make our class more diverse, but also keep it, you know, high achieving and, you know, not change our standards. And yet, you know, we have a great sense of diversity, I think. And that may again be Drexel and Philadelphia, which appeals to certain students more than others. I mean, it's a real urban setting. I always make the point that that's Philadelphia, if that's something you're into, is a great
place. Yeah.
And we are, you know, 10 blocks essentially from Center City. So you can walk, and this is a walkable city. It's, you know, many of my European friends say it's the most European city in America. You can walk almost anywhere, or you could bike if you want to make it easier. And it's a very charming city architecturally and so forth, but it also has lots of problems. And one of the things that Drexel prides itself on is its programs in civic engagement. I told you we have this core coursework in the honors program, and we also partner with the Lindy Center for Civic and the Dornsife Center for Civic Engagement, where students mm-hmm. can engage with the community in West Philadelphia or with other services throughout the city and become involved in making things better, because there's a lot to be done.
No, absolutely. Now, you mentioned that scholarships are, administered, I guess, through the university at large.
Yes.
What kind of merit scholarships are available and that, you know, honor students end up getting, in addition to obviously financial aid? And
there are some merit scholarships. Obviously, they want the best students to come. That raises their profile. I don't know what the numbers are now. I mean, I do know that we try and get underserved students too. So that has ramped up the financial aid. I will also say that I think we have a discount rate of about 52% or something like that, which means that the student price is not necessarily what students are going to pay. But I don't know what the breakdown of merit scholarships are to need-based scholarships.
Let's talk a little bit about outcomes and career opportunities. What do students do? It's a five-year program. Obviously, co-op is a big part of that whole experience, in addition to obviously undergraduate research and the other things we talked about. Now, what kind of, and maybe contrast it with the broader population at Drexel, you know, what do students do, you find, and what kind of opportunities do they have?
Our students do a wide variety of things. I will say that we have students in the business school that go on to the highest consultancies. I mean, I've had quite a number of students go to Goldman Sachs, for example. I've had quite a number of students go to Google. I have a student of mine who is now at Google in Singapore. She's actually Vietnamese, and she's, been rising through the ranks there. We also have students going into nonprofit areas. I will say that our nursing students, and these are the students in the honors program, are extremely well trained, and because of the co-op, they get the experience. They are more often hired by HUP and CHOP. Those are the hospitals of the University of Pennsylvania than their own nursing students, because ours are so well prepared. And then, you know, that there are many engineering schools in the area that hire our students. I mean, as I said, Chuck Pannoni, Greg Bentley. Bentley is a software company, but they will hire our students as well. But there's a whole network that's been created over the past, 100 years of co-op involvement in the area that really makes it so that our students, who tend to be more industrious and higher achieving than perhaps the rest of the university, get the best jobs. But I would say in general, Drexel students do very well when they graduate, better than most schools, even Ivy League schools, from my experience.
Now, what number or what fraction goes to grad school after?
Oh, I don't know the fraction, but often our star students or our supernova students almost invariably go to graduate school, and they've gone to excellent graduate schools. Some of them stay on and go to graduate school with us because they continue working in the lab that they started in as freshmen, believe it or not. We have a tenured full professor in what is her field? Biomedical engineering, who was a star student, I guess 15, 20 years ago. So that's really interesting. We also have a student who, you know, we have an entrepreneurship major at Drexel, and that's often for the custom design major, there's often a piece that's entrepreneurship. So we had a student who graduated, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. He was both a star student, honors program student, and a custom design student. And he went and he started his own bio wall company, which had these plant walls, you know, and we bought 2 plant walls, which are on our second floor, which are incredibly beautiful, I think, that from his company. And as the, and you know, it's wonderful because they keep, they're automatically watered. They're attached to the watering system. And then when the little, they have grooves where you put the individual plants in. And if one withers a little bit, he immediately sends out a replacement. So they've been fresh now for, I guess, 2 years. And we're very proud of it. Whenever we have programming on the second floor, which we do have very often because it's a laboratory space, and we have prospective student presentations there. I always mention that Colin Cavoti, he also was a fellowship. He won a fellowship. So he took advantage of the whole array of things that we have at the Pannoni Honors College. But I often like to show off that what those wonderful plant walls that surround our screen, our computer screen on the second floor when we have presentations.
Obviously, you have a great program going there, Paula. So what should high schoolers be doing? What would your advice to them be?
Well, I would say they should look at our website and see if they like what they see. And then they should come and for a presentation, which I don't know when these will start. They can take a tour of the campus, and maybe they can coordinate their visit so that it's a time when we're giving an honors presentation, which we tend to do in our space, but not on a regular, I mean, we have certain dates where that, and they could always contact the admissions office and find out when that will be. But I think if they are interested, again, it's not for everyone. They need to be people who can work hard, who don't mind a fast pace, but who also really like to engage and think and talk, because I think that's one of the things we really encourage. We're very, we're very supportive of our students. I like to say, you know, my staff, of which I said there are about 20, maybe a little less, because we were hiring an extra person, they will go out of their way to spend really, in some cases, hours with a student, just going over, you know, a problem or a schedule or whatever. And their devotion to their jobs and to the students is exceptional. And I've been in other programs and other places, and I can really say that. I'm very proud of them.
Sounds fantastic. Sounds fantastic. So, Paula, we're going to start winding down here.
Okay.
But before I let you go, any closing thoughts, anything you want to tell the listeners?
No, I just think that I hope they'll check out the Pedoni Honors College if they think it sounds right for them, because it's a very vibrant and life-affirming place. I love being here.
Awesome. So, Paula, let me thank you for taking the time talking about the Pedoni Honors College. Sounds wonderful, very appealing. And if I could go to school, I'd probably apply there too.
You sound like somebody who would enjoy it. I think you would. And you should come visit sometime, because the structure itself, our structure, our building, both the residence hall, which is older and it's semicircular, very interesting, and our addition, which is all glass, is very fun. I mean, it's a really nice space.
Absolutely. I will definitely take you up on that offer one of these days. So,
okay.
So thank you, Paula. Thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll talk again.
Okay.
Right now, take care. Be safe.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye. Bye.
Can I ask you something?
Hi again. Hope you enjoyed our podcast with Dean Cohen of the Pedoni Honors College at Drexel University. Specifically, Dean Cohen covered interdisciplinary honors college programs, seminar-style classes, programs for undergraduate research, co-op, star and supernova programs, how to apply, and finally, career opportunities. I hope you explore Pedoni Honors College at Drexel for your own undergraduate studies. For your questions or comments on this podcast, please email podcast@almamatters.io. Thank you all so much for listening to our podcast today. Transcripts for this podcast and previous podcasts are on almamatters.io/podcasts. To stay connected with us, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or visit anchor.fm/almamatters to check us out. Till we meet again, take care and be safe. Thank you.
College Matters.
Alma Matters.